Evidence Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for the next hour on this September the 14th on the West Coast and September the 15th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. It's nice having you with us. I want to also welcome those who may be listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world. That's something interesting to share with you tonight. I did not schedule a guest tonight. I'm going to talk about some different things, might even play some music for you, just something outside the box, something to maybe send some memories your way and introduce you to something you may not have heard before. Certainly, many of my listening audience know that I'm very much a musician. That's where my first love is. And if I can't play music, I certainly like to listen to it. I know a lot of people do, and I've gotten a lot of comments from a few of the shows that we've done where we've either featured an artist, maybe talked about their work, or where we just listen to some sounds just for the change of flow, the change of energy. Music is what makes the universe exist. And it's a combination of all the sciences and mathematics and even the healing arts. Everything is contained within the potential of a song. It's properly written, it's properly played, and listen to. If all the necessary components of communication are there, and that includes the listeners as well as the performers, then there should be something sacred that happens when you listen to music. So I never overlook that. It's not always that that we can lay back and just enjoy things. But tonight we're going to talk about something very serious. We're going to talk about the reality that has been the biggest secret, as David Icke has said, and many others. When you start connecting the dots of history, and you see that some of them are connected through a story, but the facts don't support what the story says, then you have to ask yourself why anyone goes through the trouble that they do to hide the truth from us. And if you're really looking at that from a perspective of wanting to find an answer, wanting to understand really, well, if this isn't what happened in history, why are we told it is? Well, if it keeps you in a state of fear, if it controls you, if it makes money for someone, you have a few of the answers right there. If it has an impact on your mind, if it has an impact on your actions, and it's destructive in nature, if it's designed to control you, then by all means, it comes from evil. It leads to the same beings that are creating all the chaos in the world. And while they tell us that constantly we're going to eventually have peace, they use this insane ideology that somehow murdering everyone brings about the peace. Well, even if you were able to kill every person on the planet and you were the last one left over, how could you have peace of mind knowing that you did that? It's the type of insanity that they keep telling us year after year. Here we are in an election period and everybody runs back to politics. Politics is what is corrupt. It's the corrupt system that they put together. They designed and they've been implementing. And whenever we talk about it, oh, we have to be called crazy. Why are we crazy? Because we're showing you the truth? Or because we stand up to them? You see, they would want you to think that we were crazy. That's always worked for them. But when you look at how crazy the world is, the world they run, how can you not see that their methods result in chaos and insanity? And every type of criminality that there is. So keep an open mind and think for yourself, because they're telling you these things. You know, I tell people, don't listen to the mainstream media, really. Anymore, I don't even care what they're talking about, because none of it is true. It's all designed to control your mind. It's designed to steal your power. It's designed to take your money. And you spend all your time working to get money, and then you turn around and give it all away, and you feel good about it because you've been programmed to spend it. You want to talk about nobody having any money? Well, where's all the money that you had? It got spent. And if you're not spending it and they're not taxing you, they find all kinds of ways through legislation to steal it from you. And it's not going to fix the things that they claim it's going to fix. You know, you have a lot of people now for a year, going on a year and a half during this administration and the tail end of the last one, when they announced these bailouts, the bankers got the money. The very people who were the cause of all the problems got the money. And we're supposed to give that to them? Not only do they have the money that you put in the bank, they're taking all the public properties and hypothecating assets on top of them. And where does this money go? Well, they build underground bases. Oh, that's taboo. I'm not supposed to talk about that. But people have written books about it. Richard Sauter has been on this show a few times talking about that very thing. Or they're building these massive buildings for controlling data. They can't control their own books, but they want to control the world. They want to control all the data. They want to control you and me and everything. But no one seems to see that. That's, for some reason, it doesn't register. Oh, they can't. My government wouldn't do that. You know, of course, they can't tell us what they're doing because of national security. But you tell me, where's the security? Where was the security on 9/11? The inside job. Really, where was the security on that day? Yet they promise security, and they promise to go to another country and give those people security while they murder millions of people and make more money for themselves? See, this is a repeating theme that's been going on throughout history. And I've been alluding to this, and others have been alluding to the fact that there's someone behind the scenes pulling the strings. Oh, you talk about UFOs or unidentified flying objects. Actually, today we should call them identified flying objects, because we know quite a bit about them, where they're made, who makes them, what technology helped develop that. We know the Nazis were flying craft during World War II. They had an extreme interest in that. And they coupled all of that scientific knowledge with the knowledge that we had here in the United States. But who funds that? Who directs all that? How is it that the whole world suddenly has all this technology? In 100 years of the 20th century, we probably advanced technologically more than any other time, without going back into more ancient history, say in the days of Atlantis, for example. Oh, that's a myth. They always say, this is a myth, that's a myth. And what they do is they put these myths in front of you to get you to thinking, oh, no, these things aren't true, because if Atlantis was real, we'd see it, we'd find it. And until you really do your homework and learn about the destruction and the quaking of the earth, and a planet disappearing underwater, being swallowed up into the Earth, then you have a different story than the one you're being told. But we're so quick to judge others because they're able to think outside the box, because they're not buying the whole story. And when the proof comes out, then you have to confront that. You have to confront the reality that those things really happened, or these things are really happening today. A little over a year ago, August 25th, 2009, I shared that night on my show, I shared a story that was actually my experience, but it wasn't just my experience alone. There were thousands of people in the state of Ohio and many in Ontario, Canada, who witnessed the events that were going on in the skies that day. Started about 3:15 in the afternoon, Eastern Standard Time, on August 25th. Jets started coming out of the region of Lake Erie. In fact, we came to learn there's an underground base under Lake Erie near Euclid, Ohio, on the east side of Cleveland. And jets were coming from every direction, chemtrailing the skies at high altitudes and at medium altitudes and low altitudes, and they basically blanketed the whole sky. And you can still see these jets when they made their sorties, because they were not at their highest altitude when they left the lake. They were only a few miles from the shoreline. And they had covered the whole state of Ohio. Why would they do that? Why would they suddenly do that? Well, you know, they're chemtrailing the skies day in and day out. But on that particular day, there was an event going on that probably would have been seen from the ground, at least by everybody in the state of Ohio and those in the Ontario, Canada region. More specifically, let's say Hamilton, Toronto, that area. And it so happened that we witnessed, and I say we, because there was even another AM radio talk show host, Mike Trevisano, on 1100 AM out of Cleveland, who had gone out during a commercial break to look up at the skies, because people who were driving around the whole area, really the northern half of the state of Ohio, were calling into this radio show reporting the things they were seeing. We were witnessing anti-gravity systems on jets. We saw this. You know, it's shouldn't be any big deal to talk about it. They made themselves seen. People saw it. People are going to talk. And there was quite a bit going on. There was actually a space battle going on. And it wasn't between Russia and the United States, or Russia and China, or China and the United States. We've talked about beings that have been here, coming here for a long time, and they're coming here in great numbers. We've talked about that on many shows, so I'm not going to make excuses for the fact that all of these things connect to these beings. And in other parts of this galaxy, even in other parts of the solar system, the same problem exists. But certainly in other parts of the universe, too. There are beings that just feel, for whatever reason, that they have a right to control everything. If they can control it, it's theirs. If it's people, they're going to control it. If it's nature, they're going to control it. And if they can't have it for themselves, they'll go so far as to destroy it. So no one can have it. That's how little conscious these beings have. They have an agenda, sort of like bees in a hive, if that explanation or that example serves its purpose. Or ants on an anthill. Or any other creature that depends on the numbers of the group and the and what's called a hive mind. The grays are that way. They're of a hive mind. They've been trained to serve someone that created them. They've been created and trained to serve them. And they have certain abilities that were put in there because they want them to be able to have those abilities. They want cutting edge information, and they want something that can actually be every bit as corrupt as them, but not as powerful. So when you hear somebody talk about seeing a craft, I mean, how can you people watch Star Trek for so many years and not accept the fact that there are craft that look like discs? Flying saucers was a name given to them many years ago. Of course, everybody who's ever seen one of these craft is hallucinating. They tell you that, and then you're supposed to say, oh, that person's crazy. Stay away from them because they're talking about something that's taboo, and that discredits anything else that anyone else is talking about, as if that's the only thing that could discredit something. Or as if because the truth makes everything else look bad. I mean, which is it? So when you know the truth, when you see the truth, and then, you know, these shows, a show like this, you should see all the attacks that come from that. They fret over this. They threat over, how are we going to stop them from telling everybody what's going on? Well, people can see this. Just so happens that there's a lot of people listening to this and have seen it, and they can connect with this. But you don't have to hide because you know this knowledge. You don't have to hide. You face it. You confront it. Guess what? Something has to change. Something has to change. The whole reality has to change. You know, when they first invented Kleenex tissue, and people were using handkerchiefs made out of cotton, hopefully, and so they sort of had the concept. I mean, professional athletes are another story. They put a finger over one nostril and blow and, you know, move out of the way. Missiles will be flying till they relieve their nasal cavity. Well, they invented Kleenex, which was a way to, blow your nose and then throw it away. Maybe that's healthier than putting it back in your pocket. And everybody started calling it Kleenex. There's all kinds of different brand names, but it became a trade name. Okay. The craft that we talk about, they're discs. They've been called flying saucers because they look like saucers or inverted saucers or two saucers sitting on one on top of the other, one inverted and the other up, right side up. Some of them have domes and windows. Of course, they mock this so that the average person that hasn't seen one or is sufficiently under mind control won't contemplate that maybe there's life somewhere else. They just want you to focus on this reality. They spent thousands of years creating it and thousands of years stealing our money to create it, to pay for it. We're stealing our labor, stealing our wealth, suppressing our natural gifts, attacking our bodies, attacking our minds, with the intent to disconnect us from spirit, which is our true nature and our true power. But, you know, you can attack and you can attack and you can attack. You know, it's a game to them. It's a game. If that's all they can do, where are they headed? In the all of the cosmos, where are they headed? I don't think they make a toilet large enough to house all these beings when that time comes. But you know, they've got other places that they would like to go. I've talked about the fact that I absolutely am convinced, I know without a doubt, that we have a colony on Mars. I've said this for a number of years. You've been listening to the show for any extent or any number of even weeks or just a few months. You've heard us talk about this a few times on this show. And I'm hearing things from all over the place about what's going on the moon. I'm not real excited about the moon, nor am I really excited about Mars. Seems to me we should be paying attention to how this place should be taken care of, not destroyed. They got everybody looking everywhere but here at what's happening. That's the general point I want to make. And I've talked about these things. And you're discrediting the Patriot music movement. What does Mars have to do with the Patriot movement? Unless it has to do with the fact that they're building more weapons systems to control people, or maybe they're getting ready to blow this planet up and destroy it and cut and run. You see, they can't take everything they have. Maybe they've already shipped all the gold they stole up to Mars or some other place, some other dump in the universe. And I say dump because that's what they've turned this planet into. It's a big garbage dump. And if the mass consciousness of this planet would rise, we would have help. We would have interaction with beings that aren't going to eat us, aren't going to drink our blood. But actually, we have that reality. We have this in movies. You have beings that have your political representatives pee in their pants and poop in their pants. Every government in the world has been infiltrated by these beings on one extent or another. You can see these beings walking down the street. You can see them in stores. You can see them in schools. You can see them in government offices. You certainly can see them on film. And, you know, what do I know about science? Well, I'm not a scientist. You know, I don't have the credentials of a scientist. But I've met some jackasses that are smarter than some of the scientists I've seen with credentials. So what's so, you know, why is that so important? Well, it plays into the system, you see. Certification. You have to be certified to do this, and you have to be certified to do that. Henry Ford didn't have any certification. They made him a player. Anyone ever ask David Rockefeller what certification he has, or George H.W. Bush? You know, you have the stories, but those have pretty much disproven all the rest of what they feed us. Politically speaking, genealogically speaking, I was talking to someone this evening about the Kennedy assassination. And how obvious it is who's behind that. Nothing's done. They form a commission, and the people blindly accept this stuff because the commission is told, you're going to make this go away. It's not about finding the truth. They tell us, oh, yeah, we're going to get to the bottom of this. You got a guy who is president for not that long a period of time, but was in the process of making major changes to stop a lot of the corruption that's been endemic in this country since it was founded. And they had to get rid of him, and it's pretty clear who did it. You look at Aristotle Onassis. How many people brought up Onassis' name? But this goes back thousands of years. You kill your enemy, you take his woman, and you take his gun. That's basically what Aristotle Onassis did. He took Jackie Kennedy for his wife, and he took control of the Pentagon. And we were already on Mars when that happened. When Kennedy was assassinated, we had already been on Mars. And there are people coming out talking about it. I'm not saying you have to accept what they say, but why shouldn't we be on Mars with all this technology we have? In fact, we're going into deep space. They're not telling you about that. They want you to focus your eyes and your ears on a celestial body that's 250,000, depending on the light, okay? 239 to 250,000 miles away. They were teaching us 250,000 miles when we were in school. Probably 239,000 miles away. That's really not all that far when you think in concepts of light years or just the speed that light travels in a second. These craft can surpass those speeds and travel great, great distances in very short time. So it totally obliterates your concept of time, any awareness of time. These are realities. And think of all the technology that's been suppressed the past 110 years. All the Tesla inventions, and not just his, there were many that had fantastic inventions. Some of the simplest inventions that were created by just regular old people out in the country. Might have had a barn to try an idea out. As soon as the idea got out, the news got out that this guy had invented this or that, they had to go in there, steal it, and kill the guy. Couldn't have a threat to our control system. You know, how much longer do you want to experience this, ladies and gentlemen? How much longer do you want this to go on? You know, that you could say, well, you know, ask me next Monday. Maybe, I'll have had the weekend to think about it. We really have to wake up and realize who we are. There's a man that actually gave an interview. The gentleman's name is Boyd Bushman. And he's featured in an interview called Extraterrestrial UFO Visitors Are Real. Now, we know what the craft are, so the word UFO is applying to vehicles that come from another place. Now, if there are these vehicles, and we know that our government is making them as well and flying them, we know this. We've seen them. They've tried to play down the Bob Lazar story that became a psyop for a number of years. But even Boyd Bushman mentions Bob Lazar. There are some instances in this interview where you're not going to hear talking going on when there is actually a graphic that I can read. If I have a moment to read it to you, I will. I don't want to step on the audio portion of this. Because it is a video, but what is being said is worthy of playing on the radio. And I'm going to play that for you now. This is Boyd Bushman.
The work that Hutchins has been doing, mm-hmm. he has Tesla coils, he has Vandegraaff, and he has, mm-hmm. very frankly, static electricity generators. Mm-hmm. Notice that data doesn't have to make sense.
Right.
Data just has to be truthful.
It is the truth.
That's right.
It's more important than proving Einstein right or wrong.
Okay, now his data showed everything from a chocolate milkshake snaking toward the top of his room, mm-hmm. To bowling balls floating in the air. Mm-hmm. I have all his data, and I've been following it. I am a senior scientist from Lockheed Martin. I have been a senior research engineer for Howard Hughes, Texas Instruments. Nevertheless, we've been working for some time now in order to determine where the next energy levels are going to come from. Now by that I mean we aren't talking about wind or solar or even atomic. We have other formats of energy that we've theoretically proven that are available. Not only that, but there have been significant developments, and many times the things that we look at and call UFOs are really some of the developments that we've been involved with.
Did Lockheed have been involved with? So, are these some of the UFOs we're seeing, you believe, are ours? They're United States military?
Well, Area 51 is literally where the majority of the things that we call the Black Program were developed. And many times sightings would occur directly associated with them. As I conducted tests, every now and then nature would not give us what we wanted, but it gave us something else.
Something else.
And I would sweep it under the rug because it didn't match theory.
So do you
and after a while I said, that is not honest. That is not proper. You must record the data properly. And indeed, once you record the data, then you start modifying the theory. Einstein's work is only a slight modification of Newton's work. But we do understand that Newton's work has, well, Newton's work, for example, Newton says anything that's in motion tends to remain in motion, right? Okay, so I have something, and I'm taking it around counterclockwise. And see, and what Newton said is true. He just wants to go around, 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 around. This particular thing is called a self. It is not, it's clear plastic. There's nothing in it. Okay, now I'm going to take it around clockwise. It says, no, I don't want to do that. It's just like my children. I will do it my own way.
How did it go the other way?
Precisely. A Newton's law.
Is that because of the rotation of the planet? Or?
Well, is there...
Can I try that?
You may. In fact, first of all, send it around counterclockwise.
Okay. Counterclockwise. This is called a cell?
It's CELT. C-E-L-T.
What's in it? Okay, there you go.
Nothing's in it. It's plastic. Okay, now take it around clockwise.
Okay.
And it says, no, and it goes back the same number of turns you sent.
I've never seen anything like that.
Now go out stronger. I know. See, I'm looking for the exception to the rule. Mm. You have to, if you can use language, you really need to convert it into mathematics.
Yep.
And calculate what your theory would say that it would do. Mm. A lot of people are doing nothing more than getting huge quantities of mass and see if they can get a gravity wave to cause things to move.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that isn't what we're talking about at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I wondered if gravity could be related to its cousin magnetism.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found that when I take two magnets together, I have some neodymiums around here that I'm actually afraid of. They can danger you. Mm. But anyhow, you take a magnet, you go to put them together and go, and they go clunk, right?
Mm.
But you take one of them, move it around, and all of a sudden it doesn't want to
go
together.
Right, the repulsive.
So I got, I ordered one at $5,000 a piece.
Wow.
with a quarter inch hole through between both of them, and I put a brass bolt and I tighten them down, forcing them together.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put them together in a thing that looks kind of like a rock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then I got another one that didn't have magnets in it.
Mm-hmm.
And Galileo, in all his endeavors, he went up to the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And he dropped a big rock and a small rock.
Mm-hmm.
And his buddy down at the bottom kept telling him that the large rock and the small rock arrived at the same time.
Well, in my left hand, I have a feather. In my right hand, a hammer. And I guess one of the reasons we got here today was because of a gentleman named Galileo a long time ago who made a rather significant discovery about falling objects in gravity fields. And we thought that where would be a better place to confirm his findings than on the moon. And so we thought we'd try it here for you. The feather happens to be appropriately a falcon feather for our falcon. And I'll drop the two of them here, and hopefully they'll hit the ground at the same time. How about that? That Mr. Galileo was correct in his findings.
Well, I went up to in the Lockheed Building 501 mm-hmm. by the side of escalators and elevators.
Oh, wow.
And I got nine guys that were not educated and didn't have pre opinions on anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I dropped my two rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what I would like you to do is, I told him what I'd like you to do is I would like you to take whichever one arrives first, get it in your hand, and when I come down the elevator, hand it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they looked identical, except for...
So nobody knew what was inside?
No, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
All the nine times that I tested it, it's as though the one with the opposing magnet field extending out mm-hmm. 3 feet on each side, I actually measured how big the field was. And on each side of a rock, of one rock, I had a total of 6 feet. At any rate, the other rock arrived first.
Which one arrived first?
The one that had no magnetic field in it.
So you were able to cancel out gravity to a certain degree. You were able to cancel.
Precisely.
Reduce the mass gravity effect.
Precisely.
By opposing fields.
Isn't that nice? You bet. And got nine signatures, and what I always skip.
You did that at Lockheed. What year was this?
At least 8 years ago.
This is the actual document of Boyd's, where he proved that by altering the field in a falling body, the magnetic field, it reduced its mass gravity equivalent and canceled out the effects of gravity to a certain percentage. And he did a building 500 drop test conducted from a height of 59 feet. The location is in White Settlement, Texas, and the time was 12:20 p.m., and this was in 1995, December 12th.
Nobody knows this.
I know it.
So mass gravity is not, you can alter it.
Gravity within itself has to have, gravity goes through anything that is solid and anything like iron or anything else. But it has to have a magnetic component,
mm-hmm.
which may be canceling out within itself.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as it got around my rock, it all of a sudden recognized the presence of my rock.
One of Einstein's students tried to merge electromagnetism and gravity, and mm-hmm. he rejected it. But he didn't have an experiment like you did.
No, I understand. I know that.
Yeah.
But nature never uses English. It doesn't speak. It doesn't speak any language. But yet it's talking to us all the time.
Right.
And the key thing is to identify what it's saying.
Does Lockheed Martin or does anybody possess working anti-gravity technology right now? Or are we still trying to understand how these ET craft are working? Have we reverse engineered the technology at Roswell successfully? Which would mean some of the UFOs we're seeing now that are silent and hovering.
I've given you the Lazar tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's as far as I can talk.
Okay. That's good.
It's only because I got the Lazar tapes from a White World forum.
Right.
And
But you can't say anymore.
People kept encroaching on Area 51, says that Area 51 is now moved to Tooele, Utah.
But here's one thing. This makes sense to me. If you can cancel out gravity in a falling body, and you can even reduce a percentage of the effects of gravity for aircraft, it would take less fuel, they would be more efficient, and they could hover with less energy and that much I can figure out.
And the edge, atmospheric edge of the Earth will be meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to see a picture of a nuclear-powered aircraft? Oh, yeah.
What's the date on this one?
I refuse to say, but there's the nuclear pile that actually flew.
That hunk of junk right there flew?
It actually was in the belly, providing...
Oh, that was in the belly of that.
That's right. It's just like in the belly of a submarine.
Providing anti-gravity. So it's shaped like an aircraft. Well. It's aerodynamic. So the people think that it's not using its wings.
Well, I get it. It has an energy source, okay?
I understand.
And it is staying in the air. And here is... Here's what it looked like down inside of the protecting. It was.
And that's at Area 51?
No. Much closer than we'd care to admit.
Oh, Texas. Well, I mean, Lockheed's, of the contracts here, was in the paper this morning, $27 billion in the last couple of years. Most of the majority of the defense contracts are here in Texas with Lockheed.
Well, certainly. That's why I don't mind having a retirement from them. And here was one of the old-time developments.
Oh.
Now, I happen to know the guy who put that together.
Mm-hmm. How far does this date back? March? No, Mach 1.2.
I know, it doesn't say, but in actuality, it's way, way back. The first thing,
really?
We must be at least 30 to 40 years.
And, he won't say, that it was an alien craft, obviously. I mean, it could have been something that was ours. But if we have anti-gravity, if we've developed anti-gravity at Lockheed or, any level, secret level of the Black Ops, divisions of research, why aren't we using it in the war? Why doesn't the F-117 levitate? Or does the F-117 levitate?
Well, the key question from a physics point of view is a matter of another force.
Mm-hmm.
The question is are there more forces beyond the four or five forces that we're all acquainted with? Mm-hmm. The strong force, that's holding...
The strong force, I understand that.
The strong force and weak force, electromagnetic force and gravity. Well, we have been under some development recently where the astronomers have begun to analyze the motion of galaxies apart.
Right.
And we have identified that indeed the galaxies are being impelled apart.
Mm-hmm.
We used to say at increasing velocities. The recent data and the better data says that there's still a repulsing force. Well, a repulsing force is an anti-gravity.
It's stronger than gravity.
Literally.
Mm-hmm.
Newton says for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction, right? Well, okay. If that's true, then I don't know. Don't let me get this thing lost. But if I let this fall on this carpet, mm-hmm. if I had concrete... If its elasticity
mm-hmm.
was the same, then the best that it could do would be to come back to the same height that I drop it from, right?
Right.
And if it came out higher than that, then I would have violated Newton's law of equal and opposites, right? Okay. I need your hand. This is a standard tube, and you're going to catch these. These are magnets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now do notice that this is copper.
Mm-hmm.
It does not care about copper at all. It is mm-hmm. not like iron. This one just
straight
punks
through.
Right
less
off.
Less than
here.
A second.
And this one,
1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 4 seconds.
No, that's true. So... Now,
so you're canceling out gravity.
Well, by something that cares little about magnetism.
The two opposing forces in here.
It's a matter of what is the aluminum doing? Why does it care about moving electrons?
Right.
Similarly, over here, I have aluminum. I find that were Sir Isaac Newton to be alive after Einstein, rather than the reverse.
Right.
Isaac Newton had a form of mathematics called the binomial expansion, where basically you can take anything that's mathematic, your sines, cosines, even the definition of pi, and you can put them in the expansion format.
Mm-hmm.
And if you add them all up, you get the correct definition of pi or sine and everything else. Mm-hmm. But it's usually meant for binomial expansion. If you really take Einstein's equation, mm-hmm. it is a binomial expression.
Right.
It's mass and energy
are equivalent.
If you do nothing more than shove that into Newton's series expansion,
mm-hmm.
you will and you multiply it like Einstein did. Yeah, by m0c². You multiply every one of the series expansion by that. Mystically, the first term, which is 1, when it's multiplied times m0c², is the large force. The second one turns out to be kinetic energy. Mm-hmm. I mean, 1/2 mv², mm-hmm. not c².
Mm-hmm.
Because Einstein had v. But the C's cancel. It goes on ahead and basically shows that there are as many as 7 significant forces.
Really?
And the first, if you can include the kinetic energy, it turns out to be the first 5 we know.
Right.
The 6th, 7th, and 8th we don't know.
Right. So you're saying...
But we're taking the expression associated with the binomial expansion and taking a look at it, and it looks like that indeed there are, that we believe that anti-gravity is there. That's one of them.
It's one of the forces, one of the...
But we have forces that are yet to be named. Up here, a picture of the there's a rock up there.
Mm-hmm. Next. Yeah, I see that.
Well, that actually came whizzing past between the moon and the earth about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to come back again in 2029, and then it will come back and just between the Earth and Moon, and it will come back the next time in 2036.
So the orbit is decaying.
It will collide someplace between Siberia and Africa, and will be a huge impact. Many, many, many megatons.
Bigger than Tunguska?
Don't know.
How right big now. Is that thing?
It depends on its velocity. But it's there. We know it. We're tracking it.
And
number 6, veer its orbit. Notice that it floated above the aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, something mystical inside the aluminum was doing something like happened inside of copper.
You can't run current through aluminum like a wire.
Yeah.
And traditionally it said it's non-conductive, but actually you're saying it is conductive.
Well, something occurred. Actually, what's happening is that this only works if it's AC electricity.
Alternating current.
Alternating current. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Notice that this only worked if it was moving. In other words, when I'm working with this, it doesn't care a thing about each other.
Right.
But when I have motion, something happens.
Right.
Because I knew you were coming, I again called a friend of mine,
mm-hmm.
who was a Navy doctor, mm-hmm. during the same time period we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
slightly after that, and he all of a sudden was healing a pilot. The person who had been pilot. And he began to tell him a story, and he basically said, one day I was up in one of the faster airplanes that we had, And I had something that was a spherical object that, was ahead of me. And I called back and I said, are there any friendlies over here? Mm-hmm. He actually took off from a Texas location. Headed off that way. And
towards New Mexico.
And they said, well, no, there's no friendlies here. He said, not only that, but he's accelerating away from me, and yet I have the fastest airplane that's been designed.
And which at that time was...
And therefore, it can't be one of us.
Well, that was...
And he said, well, they said, well, you have the weapon on board. It was a new design. Oh. And he said, go on ahead and shoot it down. And so he did.
He shot down the Roswell craft. You know who did it?
He said, don't give the people my name,
he shot it down.
He's a very dear, the doctor is a very dear friend of mine.
What kind of a weapon?
I don't know. We have all kinds
of... Because bullets were only 1,500 miles an hour back then.
We have all kinds of things out there.
An electromagnetic pulse
over here. Right. Anyhow.
Nikola Tesla died in the Hotel New Yorker on July 7th, coming into the morning of the 8th in 1943. Freedom of Information Act request, FBI FOIA documents reveal that Tesla's death ray was the only defense we had against atomic bombs. And the question is, as these documents reveal, this secrecy around the Tesla death ray, which is a laser weapon used to strike at an aircraft as a ray to short circuit all of its electrical systems, all of its spark plugs, all of the engineering in the craft to actually down the craft. The question is the Tesla death ray the weapon that was used, that Boyd Bushman's testimony tells us, to take down the flying saucer at Roswell? Because we know from the dates that the Tesla death ray was being developed in 1943 by the United States government. And the Roswell craft appears in our skies in 1947 in July, that there's plenty of time to have developed the weapon
that we shot down them at Roswell.
Well, then the individual said that he went and landed at a nearby airport, went over and went and walked into the craft. Evidently, one of them was out walking around, because there were only three when he was in.
Three aliens at that time?
And he walked in, and they were all 4 feet and under. But he could see through the walls of the craft from the inside out.
Whoa.
And it kind of...
Translucent material.
And the material he was stepping on was spongy, he said. It wasn't...
So what about this liquid wall at Roswell?
Well, if you will follow your friend and mine, Lazar, they didn't find any light bulbs, any electricity, or any requirement for such a thing.
Do you think we'll survive one more?
The question is it alive? The people that are alive will figure out how to escape this place.
Oh, I know what you're saying, yeah.
And actually, nature wants to tell us how to escape. Mm-hmm. I mean, with the additional four forces that we're working toward, there should be no problem.
Going to Andromeda.
Got it.
We can get to Andromeda with one of the other forces, not the forces we
know. Exactly.
That's it.
And we will be able to travel faster than the velocity of light.
Well, Paul,
Einstein simply said you cannot communicate beyond the velocity of light using photons.
But actually, the distance proves that.
But let's say if I had a blind Einstein, he said you couldn't travel faster than the velocity of sound.
Right.
If a seeing blind Einstein says you can't travel faster than the velocity of light.
Right, I guess so.
But if thoughts could travel faster.
Right.
Then he would say,
you can't
travel faster than the velocity of thought.
That's incredible. Yeah. You know about spooky action at a distance.
Yep.
And singularity.
You tied them all together. Mm-hmm. It worked in your mind.
Because Paul Dirac said in this.
Perfectly right.
When Paul Dirac saw the birth of electron, anti-electron, electron-positron pairs coming from super gammas, that he believed he found this substratum to the universe that was non-dual. It was pure negative. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if it was really negative. It was just single. And he said, my God, if you could become one with that, you could be anywhere in the universe in zero time because there's no resistance in that singularity because there's no polarity.
Well, there is another universe called the neutrino universe, of course.
Right.
We know that it's there. And now we're seeing if one of the additional forces matches it.
So the neutrino universe is another universe, not just...
Not only that, we know that we have... We know that what we have is a very... We're about 5%.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that we see is about 5%.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's dark matter that we don't see.
Right.
And then beyond that is about 70% of dark energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The energies that we don't now have cataloged. Mm-hmm. And we don't have a name. And we haven't done critical tests on them. And we're just barely beginning to start operating.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Boyd Bushman from Lockheed Martin. Kind of interesting there. Now you're not able to see the video, but what he had done, he had taken a lead tube and placed a cylindrical ball in the lead tube, and it went right through it. And then he had a copper tube. He took the same ball and put it through the end, and it took it 4 seconds to travel 12 inches. Each tube was about 12 inches. I'm guessing. I didn't have the exact measurement, but they were the same length. One immediately came out the bottom of the lead tube, and then the ball came out the copper tube in 4 seconds. So there's an inductive electromagnetic field, we'll say, that interacts, and the whole structure becomes one magnetic structure in the lead tube, and it falls through immediately. There's a different action going on, or a different process going on, electromagnetic in nature, which is allowing the ball to spin. Most likely it's spinning, which is causing it to stay in the tube longer. Eventually it falls through. Now, I suppose if you could make it spin faster, this was just a free fall. If you could cause it to spin faster, then you could keep it suspended in the copper tube indefinitely. That is anti-gravity. Jim Murray and I have talked about that process and the fact that these electromagnetic fields are vortexian in nature. The Earth is surrounded by a vortex, a grid that causes it to do the same kind of spinning that ball did inside that copper tube. It's a bigger object. There are some different principles at work, but anti-gravity is basically the same thing. Now, if you've ever looked at a craft and you've been able to look at it through binoculars to see it up very closely, you can see that the top of the craft is spinning clockwise. Now, the question is the bottom spinning counterclockwise, or is it stationary? That is, when you see a disc flying in the sky over your city, doesn't have to be Phoenix, anywhere in the world, there and it's rising or falling or stopping on a dime and spinning or taking off in another direction very rapidly, then you're witnessing anti-gravity. Now, I mentioned earlier, before we played this clip, that August 25th, 2009, thousands of people, maybe even millions of people in the state of Ohio and Ontario saw what was being sprayed in the skies, saw jet airplanes light up, and it was at that moment that those planes turned on their anti-gravity. So they disappeared after that. They went up into the clouds and disappeared. So we have anti-gravity technology. Now, one of the other forces that he didn't talk about was antimatter. And that is what is used to move through the large distances in space. you've heard, if you've studied that or read about that type of travel, it's been theorized that space is basically folded. And so if you have point A at one end of a sheet of paper and point B at the other end of the sheet of paper, and you grab both ends and bring them together, that's sort of the visual representation of how one moves through space. But moving through space, when you're in a gravity-free environment, it's and a vacuum, it's not necessary to have anti-gravity. Antimatter is how these crafts are propelled at incredible speeds. And I submit that we have that technology. We've had it for a long time. Now, where did we get that technology? That would be the question. And I keep saying all of this stuff links together. There's a common denominator with the whole process. Now, I promised you I was going to play some music. I am. And tomorrow night, we're going to continue talking about this subject in some other areas. I thought I'd play something kind of neat. This is jazz. Hopefully you'll stay and listen because it's some pretty good musicianship here. Two of my favorite trumpet players, Dizzy Gillespie and Arturo Sandoval. You'll get to hear Arturo demonstrate his anti-gravity playing style. And Dizzy's not that bad either, or wasn't. The late Dizzy Gillespie and his song, A Night in Tunisia.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
that Nine Inch Illusion was created on one of those small movies that they say where you put a quarter in. And I was making one of those movies with Benny Carter and Maxine Sullivan. And in a break, I went over to the piano and I sat down at the piano and I played this progression, which is the melody in A Night in Tunisia. Bum, 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 bee, bee. That's a whole chord. And I had the tune right there. Dee, 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 dee. Went to D minor. And all I had to do was write the bridge.
Dizzy Gillespie featuring Arturo Sandoval. Some nice Barry sax there. That's the big bass sax that was playing those really high notes. That's Anti-Gravity in music, folks. And considering this show is heard on 2005 planets, and I hope on Mars tonight, I hope they got to hear those high anti-gravity style notes. There is such a thing as anti-gravity, and there are people all over the universe that appreciate music. So that goes out to my friends in the United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Hendon. I want to thank everybody that tuned into the show tonight. We're going to continue on these topics and maybe go even a little further into another area. I do want to get into some things regarding what those other energies might be. Consciousness is one. And consciousness will be the gateway to all kinds of discoveries. That is the basic problem on Earth right now. It's the dilemma of mankind. But there are people waking up and realizing that there is much more in the universe than what is going on here on this planet. It's about time that we join the party. I want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight, and I urge you to tune in tomorrow night for a continuation of these topics and some others. Also, I want to thank those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world and over at BBS Radio. I want to thank Don Newsom on the sound tonight, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Until tomorrow, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.